Well, there was a lot there today, especially on building the tabernacle and building the temple, and they were all instructions to Yehovah's people. But there's not a lot I can say about that because that was what they had to do and that's what they did. There's no longer a tabernacle today and there's no longer a temple today. So I am going to speak out of the Kedavah HaShalakim, or the writings of the apostles. And I'm going to read, I'm going to start from a reading that used to be done many years ago, but because we've cut it all back, we haven't done that reading today, so I'm going to give you a little bit more. But before I do, let's pray. Abba Father, we just thank you and praise you that you will open our eyes to see the wondrous things from your word today. And I pray, Abba Father, that the words of my mouth and the thoughts of my heart will be acceptable in your presence. Because you, Yehovah, are my rock and my redeemer. And I ask this in Yeshua's precious name. Amen. Today I'm going to start on... it's not opening up. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 12 to 18. And I've titled it, When the River Starts to Flow. We should be operating in the kingdom of Yah now. We should be allowing our river of living water to flow out of us to guide us to other people and let them see Yehovah in us. So let us read from the word. 2 Corinthians. Having then such expectation, we use much boldness of speech, not like Moshe, who put a veil over his face, so that the children of Israel should not look steadily at the end of what was passing away. But their minds were hardened, for to this day, when the old covenant is being read, the same veil remains, not lifted, because in Messiah it is taken away. But to this day, when Moshe is being read, a veil lies on their heart. But when one turns to the Master, the veil is taken away. Now Yehovah is the Spirit, or the Ruach, and where the Ruach of Yehovah is, there is freedom. And we all, as with unveiled faces, we see in a mirror the esteem or the glory of Yehovah, and are being transformed into the same likeness of esteem to esteem as from Yehovah the Ruach. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 to 17, it says, For the love of the Messiah compels us, having judged this, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but live for him who died for them and was raised. So from now onwards, we know no one according to the flesh. And if we have known the Messiah according to the flesh, yet now we no longer know him thus. Therefore, if anyone is in the Messiah, he is a renewed creature. The old matters have passed away. See, all matters have become renewed. And in Revelations 21, 1 to 7, it says, And I saw a renewed heaven and a renewed earth. So we're renewed people. We're going to see a renewed heaven and a renewed earth. For the former heaven and the former earth had passed away, and the sea is no more. And I, Yochanan, saw the set-apart city, the renewed Jerusalem, coming out of the heaven from Elohim, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the heaven saying, See, the booth or the tabernacle of Elohim is with men. And he shall dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and Elohim shall be with them and be their Elohim. And Elohim shall wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall no more be death, no, nor mourning, nor crying. And there shall be no more pain, for the former matters have passed away. And we who are sitting on the throne, see, I make all matters new. And he said to me, Write these, for these words are true and trustworthy. And he said to me, It is done. I am the Aleph and the Tav, the beginning and the end. To the one who thirsts, I shall give the fountain of water of life without payment. The one who overcomes shall inherit all this, and I shall see his Elohim, and he shall be my son. And in Revelations 22:1-4, it says, And he showed me a river of water of life, clear as crystal, coming from the throne of Elohim and the Lamb. In the middle of its streets and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And no longer shall there be any curse, and the throne of Elohim and the Lamb shall be in it. And his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be upon their foreheads. Now I've gone through all of this to lead you to the river of life. I believe that we are in end times now. I believe that this vaccination could be the mark of the beast, because it's going to imprint something into your DNA which has never ever been done before. It's an experimental vaccination with messenger RNA to disrupt your own DNA, which means further down the track, through 5G, whatever they call it, they're going to be able to manipulate you to do what you want. That is my concern. That is my huge concern for each and every one of us, those in the room, those listening online. So I'm looking at this today because people are in fear. And as I said, I've gone through this to draw you to the river of life, because I believe that this is where we belong, in the river of life now, not for when Yeshua returns, but we should be operating in it now. The more we learn of Yeshua, the more we will learn to live in the river of life now, and the more we see who we are when we see Yeshua. You remember that Yeshua saw Yochanan fall dead in fear on Patmos. I don't want any of us to ever fall dead of fear. And Yeshua said he was dead and is alive, so Yochanan ought not to fear. We ought not to fear when we have Yehovah and Yeshua and the Ruach HaKodesh within us. Because Yeshua lives. He lives to this very day. When we have a revelation of Yeshua, we see that what we can claim for our lives. The more you see of Yeshua, the more you can claim of him for your life. The more you read the scriptures, the more you will see the truth and apply it to your life. The truths we are learning are actually embedded throughout the book of Revelations, and perhaps these details have not been stressed in many places concerning Revelations, because people are not getting into the truths. If we look at the truths of Romans chapter 6 and 2 Corinthians chapters 3 through to 5, we'll find many elements of Revelations 21 and 22 in all of those scriptures that actually represents truths we learn through Romans 6 through to 8 and 2 Corinthians 3 and 4 and 5. So you can go back and you can look at all those scriptures through the week. There is a strong connection to the Mashiach or the Messiah's truths in these scriptures of Revelation. And Yehovah reveals more truths to us as long as we are growing in him. If we stop growing in him, he stops revealing himself to us. But as we channel into him, as we pray to him daily, as we read his word daily, and allow his word to speak to us, the more he will reveal his truths. Can we go to slide 7, Messianic Jews, Hebrews, please? In Messianic Jews chapter 12, verses 22 to 23, it says, But you have drawn near to Mount Zion and to the city of the living Elohim, to the heavenly Jerusalem, to myriads of messengers, to the entire gatherings and assemblies of the firstborn, having been enrolled in heaven, to Elohim, the judge of all, and to the spirits of righteous men made perfect. And in Ephesians 5:23 it says, because the husband is the head of the wife, as also the Messiah is the head of the assembly. He is the saviour of the body. Stop. I just said the husband is the head of the wife. And how many men out there are thinking, what are you doing up the front? Because they do. Many men have spoken to me about why I do the teaching and Malachi doesn't. But the point is that we all have a ministry, each and every person here. We all have giftings and we have to operate out of our giftings. I might be delivering this drasha, but every word I say has been read and approved by Malachi before I bring it. I mean, he's had to. He's gone through it because all the scriptures are in the newsletter. He puts the newsletter together. That's proof that he's seen it. And the point is that he doesn't have my gifting and I certainly don't have his. But we're a team. We operate together. You know, this is your community, but yes, we do a lot of the work. But the point is that I can't do what he does. He can't do what I do. So I'm afraid, men, you've got a woman at the front, but I'm only here every second week. Sean speaks every other week. Moving on. In Galatians 4, verse 26, it says, but the Yerushalayim above is free, which is the mother of us all. The one who sits on the throne says he makes all things new, for the former has passed away. In 2 Corinthians 5, 16 and 17, it says, so from now on we know no one according to the flesh. But if we have known Messiah according to the flesh, now we no longer know him thus. Therefore, if anyone is in the Messiah, he is a renewed creature. The old matters have passed away. See, all matters have become renewed. Each and every one of us sitting here, listening online, watching online, have known the Mashiach and others after the flesh, but not anymore. Our old lives are gone. We are not the person we used to be. We are all creatures, but all matters and all creatures have been renewed. It all happened because of what Yeshua did on the stake. In 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 14 it says, for the love of Messiah compels us, having judged this, that if one died for all, then all died. When we were immersed, we all died. Our old nature died and we became new creatures. We read Yeshua speaking to Yochanan in Revelation 21, 6, verse 6, saying, it is done. When did he say it was done? Think about it. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Aleph and the Tav, the beginning and the end. To the one who thirsts, I shall give to them the fountain of living water without payment. Doesn't cost a cent. And this is connected to the work of the stake in the finalizing of our old lives. Yeshua cried, it is finished, or it is done. And then he died. All things are new because all the old has passed away. In Mashiach, when he said, it is finished. In Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4, it says, or do you not know that as many of us as were immersed into the Messiah Yeshua were immersed into his death? We were therefore buried with him through immersion into death. that as Messiah was raised from the dead by the esteem of the Father, so also we should walk in newness of life. We should always be walking in that newness. And we walk in that newness because it is finished. It is done. Yeshua is now on the throne, sitting at the right hand of the Father. But what flows from that throne? The river flows from that throne. Caiaphas, speaking of King David, said in Acts 2 and verse 30, being a prophet then, and knowing that Elohim had sworn with an oath to him of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, to raise up the Messiah to sit on his throne. And further down in verses 33 to 34, therefore, having been exalted to the right hand of Elohim, and having received from the Father the promise of the set apart Ruach, or Spirit, he poured out this which you see now, which you now see and hear. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself said, Yeshua said to my master, sit at my right hand. Yeshua is on King David's throne right now. The throne that was to last for eternity. For that reason, he sent us the Ruach HaKodesh to indwell with us. When we consider his death, that it is done in Revelations, when Yeshua died and ascended into heaven, he went into the throne room according to Revelation chapter 5. This ascension was not the one from earth 40 days after his resurrection. I believe it was the day he was resurrected. Why? Well, I know I've told you this before, but remember he told Miriam, who went to the tomb and discovered that he was gone and thought he was the gardener. And he told Miriam not to touch him because he hadn't yet ascended. But then a week later, he comes into the upper room where all the Talmudim are, and he says to Thomas, touch my side, touch my hands. What happened between the time that Miriam couldn't touch him to the time Thomas could touch him? He had to have gone into the throne room. There's no other answer. I believe between these visits, Yeshua ascended into the throne room. He made atonement for you. He made atonement for me. And he resurrected. Then he came back to minister for the 40 days and to leave once and for all. And now sits on the throne for eternity. And do you recall the mention of a rainbow in Revelation chapter 4? In Revelation 4 and verse 3, it says, he who sat there was like a jasper and a ruby stone in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne like emerald in appearance. Now, that's not usually made something of, the rainbow. But when Yeshua went to the rainbow across the crystal sea and took the covenant, he had dominion over all things. That's when he had it. And if we go to Revelation chapter 5 and verse 12, it says, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb, having been slain, to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and respect and esteem and blessing. Then if I go to Bereshit, or Genesis chapter 9 verses 1 and 2, it says this, and Elohim blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, bear fruit and increase and fill the earth. And the fear of you and the dread of you is on every beast of the earth, on every bird of the heavens, on all that creeps on the ground, and on all the fish of the sea. Into your hand they have been given. Now, do you ever remember those words being spoken before? Well, let's go back a little bit to Bereshit chapter 1 and verse 28. And Elohim blessed them, and he said to them, bear fruit and increase, fill the earth and subdue it, and rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over all the creatures moving on the earth. That was the instructions he gave to Hava and Adam. Yehovah blessed Noah and his sons the exact same way as he blessed Adam and Hava in Gan Eden. And to Yehovah and the Lamb, Yehovah and Yeshua HaMashiach, there is honour and glory forever. In Revelation chapter 5 and verse 13 it says, and every creature which is in the heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, I heard saying, to him sitting on the throne and to the Lamb be the blessing and the respect and the esteem and the might forever and ever. The reason no man could take the book of life in Revelation chapter 5 because of what we read as a result of Yeshua taking it. Yeshua prevailed to take the book. He overcame. He defeated death and hell. He has the keys to death and hell to this day. And his overcoming seems to coincide with him walking over the glass still water between the door and the throne. Noah traversed the flood waters to get to the rainbow. Yeshua traversed the waters to get to the rainbow around the throne. So why was no one else able to get to the rainbow in Noah's day? There was a number of reasons. One, they were not in the ark. So they died. So the crystal sea indicates flood of death. There was a flood of death, and only Yeshua HaMashiach could rise from the dead and pass over it. Like an ark, he went over it, and the great things about an ark is that others can get into it. We can get into the ark with Yeshua. I was immersed into Yeshua HaMashiach's death, as were most of you. So Yeshua's experience when he said, "It is finished," was his death. And we are immersed into that death. So that if we get into the ark, he made the way for us to come to the throne room where the rainbow is. Therefore, we can always walk in our newness of life. Yeshua crossed the watery barrier of death and reached the throne so we could reach Yehovah. He redeemed us by his blood. The rainbow indicated no more floods. Now, if the flood represented death, then the one who dies with Yeshua has paid the price and does not pay death's price ever again. That is why we sleep when we die. It's virtually like saying our body is asleep, because one who sleeps can get up again. When we die, the spirit, the ruach within us, our soul, which is our mind, our will and our emotions, are with Yeshua. But the body dies, it sleeps and rests. Yeshua told the father of the dead daughter that she was merely asleep because he was going to raise her up again. That's my proof. Yeshua said it, I believe it. That settles it. So just as the rainbow said there was going to be no more floods, we died once to sin. Yes, our family might think we're dead, but we're not really, because we know that when each and every one of us dies, we're going to see each other again someday. We know that. There's no doubt. Absolutely no doubt. No more sea, no more deaths. In Revelation 21 and verse 1, it says, I saw a renewed heaven and a renewed earth. For the former heaven and the former earth had passed away, and the sea is no more. So if the sea is no more, there's no more sea, no more deaths, no more floodwaters to deal with. And this is the reference to the sea of glass in Revelation chapter 4. It did not exist in Revelation 21 because it indicated death. And once we die with Yeshua, all things are made new. There is no more death, no more sea. In Revelation 21 and verse 5, it says, and he who was sitting on the throne said, see, I make all matters new. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and trustworthy. The one on the throne, Yeshua, HaMashiach, says this. And something about the throne later in Revelation 22 is involved. The river of life, as I said, flows from the throne. It has trees on either side of it. And its leaves heal nations, and its fruit comes every month. I am sure all of us want to see all things made new in our lives. But not all of us want him to sit on the throne of our lives. We want to hold on to some things and not release them, as Yah would desire us to release them. You cannot hold on to the world and Yehovah at the same time. You cannot sit on the fence until a time of need comes into your life and then think, oh, okay, I'll go to the throne room now. We need to be with Yeshua on the throne to make all things new in our lives every single day. When we allow Yehovah to be on the throne, then we thirst no more. In Revelation chapter 7, verses 15 to 17, it says, because of this, they are before the throne of Elohim and serve him day and night in his dwelling place. And he who sits on the throne shall spread his tent over them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. Neither shall the sun strike them, nor any heat. Because the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne shall shepherd them and lead them to the fountains of waters of life. And Elohim shall wipe away every tear from their eyes. The ones who let Yeshua sit on the throne over their lives and serve him on more than just Shabbat services, they serve him day and night. Do not expect Yah to quench your thirst and solve your hunger if you refuse to let him be king over your life and refuse to serve him 24 hours a day. He should be in your every waking moment. Remember, he knows all, he sees all, and he hears all. He knows your thoughts before you've even thought them. And after the river flows in Revelation 22, we read in 22 verse 17, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And he who hears, let him say, come. He who thirsts, come. He who desire it, take the water of life without paying. In Yochanan chapter 7, John chapter 7, verses 37 to 39, it says, on the last day and the great day of the festival, Yeshua stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me, and let him who believes in me drink. As the scripture says, out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. And this he said concerning the Ruach, which those believing in him were about to receive. For the set apart spirit was not yet given, because Yeshua was not yet esteemed. And in Yochanan 4, verses 13 to 14, Yeshua answered and said to her, everyone drinking of this water shall thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water I give him shall certainly never thirst. and the water that I give him shall become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. And this is the renewed birth experience. In Revelation chapter 7 and Revelation 22 are combined with Yochanan 7 and Yochanan 4 Zeruach HaKodesh scriptures of the river of living water. Yochanan chapter 7 mentions the coming of Yeshua to drink, as does Revelation 22. And Yochanan 4 mentions never thirsting again, so does Revelation 7. And all the words, whether they're from Yochanan or from Revelation, are both from Yeshua. They're all from Yeshua, nobody else. And in Revelation 22 and verse 3, it says, "And no longer shall there be any curse, and the throne of Elohim and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him." His servants shall serve him. That is why Malachi and I, or ordained ministers on this in this congregation, are not called rabbi or pastor. We are called ministered simply because we minister to you. That is our blessing, that is our service, that is our pleasure, to minister to you. We are accessible to you at any time. You can ring us, you can speak to us at any time. His servants shall serve him. We serve you as Yeshua served his Talmudim. It is our joy. We are also ordained and come under the covering of the coalition of Torah observant Messianic congregations. So we're not just one of sitting by ourselves with no covering. We made sure we had a covering. We couldn't get it straight away because the coalition of Torah observing Messianic congregations didn't exist when we first started. Because we're in our 23rd year, which is quite a long time for Messianic congregations. 23 years ago, there weren't as many congregations in the world as there are today. No one in our congregation takes a wage or an allowance for the work they do, and never have over the time. But they are all servants of Yehovah, as are the volunteers that help us on a weekly basis in the setting up and running the service. Again, people who will not allow Yehovah to rule their lives completely will not experience all things new and will not experience deliverance from the curse of Bereshit, Genesis chapter 3, where mankind is forever cast out of Gan Eden, or the Garden of Eden. His true servants, according to Revelation 22 and verse 4, shall see his face, and his name shall be upon their foreheads. It's not a mark that we have to take. It will be seen by Yehovah. And there'll be something in your face that people will see that they'll want to know something about. What is it that's different about you? What is it that you don't get upset over this or that? Now, I started with this scripture in slide number 2. In 2 Corinthians 3, verses 12 to 18, it says, "Having then such expectation, we use much boldness of speech, not like Moshe, who put a veil over his face, so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of what was passing away. But their minds were hardened, for to this day, when the old covenant is being read, the same veil remains, not lifted, because in Messiah it is taken away. But to this day, when Moshe is being read, a veil lies on their heart. And when one turns to the Master, the veil is taken away. Now Yehovah is the Ruach, and where the Ruach of Yehovah is, there is freedom. And we all, as with unveiled faces, we see in a mirror the esteem of Yehovah, are being transformed into the same likeness from esteem to esteem as from Yehovah the Spirit." And in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 6, it says, "For Elohim said, Let light shine out of the darkness. Is the one who has shone in your hearts for the enlightening of the knowledge of the glory of Elohim in the face of Yeshua HaMashiach. The glory or esteem is in Yeshua's face as it was in Moshe's. The esteem of Elohim is his glory, and we see his face when we turn our hearts to Yeshua. We walk in newness of life when we grasp these concepts. So we see his face, we learn these things. When Yeshua's face is revealed, maybe not to ourselves, but others who see us, our revelation of Yeshua changes us into his image. So it's like having his name on our foreheads. It's a label. People see something in us that is different and want to know what it is. When they see us, they see Yeshua. The river of life starts to flow when Yeshua is king, sitting on the throne of our lives. It is when we step off the throne of our lives and let Yeshua rule. Everybody wants the blessings, but how many of us will allow him to be king over our entire lives? The river of life starts to flow to others from our lives in ministry when he is king, or Yeshua is king over our lives. And I've said many times, and I said before, it's not just the ordained ministers. You all have a ministry of some kind to operate out of daily. If we can let go and let Yah have his way in our meetings, in our lives, 100% cooperation with everyone in praise and worship, every soul who walks through here would be swept up in the river of life. Yehovah told Ezekiel, Yechezkel, to stop hesitating and go beyond ankle deep, knee deep, loin deep water. We can position our footings even if we are loin deep. That means we're in control. But if we let Yah rule and let him take control of our lives, then we have to go a little bit further. And this is often the hardest thing to do. And it usually develops through the school of hard knocks. It doesn't happen when everything's honky-dory in your life forever and ever and ever. It's easier for a child than it is for an adult. And this is why Yeshua said we have to come as little children to his throne. Because a child can accept things easier than an adult can. A child will give a broken toy to its father and wait patiently for the father to fix it and for the father to hand it back. As an adult, we have a problem in our life. We give it up to the father, we pray, and before he's had a chance to do anything with it, we grab it back and complain again. Then we load it up again and say, Father, look, I've asked you, grab it. We don't let him fix it. That's adult mentality. We have to be as little children. Give it to the Father, let go. He will fix it in his perfect timing. It mightn't be your timing, but it's his timing. It's what's happening in the world now. This world at the moment is in the worst it has ever been. I believe it's worse than what was experienced in World War II or World War I. Probably not for all those that were killed in the Holocaust, but then they followed. They were given the mark, they were given that star, same as the vaccine. They were given the star. Now get on the trolley. Get on and we'll take you off to Auschwitz. We'll take you off to wherever. Or you stand at a ravine like all my family. Bang, 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 bang. Down the ravine you go. In Ukraine. It's how it was. But that happens to us. We're in glory. Does it really matter? Because we get to be with Yeshua. We get to be living our life. But we don't have to. What is happening in this world now is the worst I have seen it. I feel so sorry for the young, for children. You know, even going through schools, they're not being taught today to learn their times table and to be able to write grammatically correct. It's shocking. They can't even do handwriting. They print. I was a teacher for 38 years. I used to have children giving me exhibition writing that we'd submit into the exhibition and they'd get home first prizes. That was 40 years ago, more. 48 years ago. But today, the education today is so different. I was finished my teaching life 11 years ago. And even then I was working in special ed. And they'd bring me all the children that couldn't read and all the children that couldn't do maths and all the children that couldn't do this. And I would take them back and I would teach them phonics. You don't teach phonics today, but I taught them phonics. And I taught them how to break down a word and to scaffold and to learn how to do things. Children can't do that today. They don't do parsing. They don't know anything about a sentence to how to write grammatically. And it's so sad because there's so much taught, so much they learn with computers and with everything else that they do. They don't have the basics. And, you know, even young people at university, I wonder how they ever get there, of what they produce. It really astounds me. But that's what's happening in our world. They are dumbing down our children. They are dumbing down our grandchildren. And then they'll follow. They'll follow whatever they're told to do and they won't think about what they're told because they're told to do it, they'll follow. This is the whole aim. And it's really a concern. It's a huge concern. As adults, we have to be able to launch into the river of life. We have to launch out into the deep where we can't reach the bottom. Our trust has to be in Yehovah. And it can be very interesting when we let him take control of our life. When you get to my age and you look back, I'm in awe of what Yehovah has done in my life. I've come from a very insecure, autistic child, but someone who would never go onto the sand, let alone get their feet, ankles in water, to do what I'm doing today. And it's only Yehovah that has done that. Some of you might never go beyond your ankles, since you fear what Yah might do. You fear losing control. But let go. Let go and let Yah have his wonderful way. He is Yehovah Zivaot, the Lord Yah of hosts. And I'm talking about, and there is no need to fear what he will do. There is no fear in what he can do. Fear is false evidence appearing real, as is fail is a further attempt in learning. Failing is never failing. It's just a further attempt in learning. If you've got it wrong, how are you going to learn to get it right if you haven't got it wrong in the first place? You know, it's this. I went through school in the late 40s, early 50s, and the boys used to get the cane for getting their spelling wrong. And I would cry because it wasn't fair. Those boys couldn't even afford shoes on their feet and they would do barefooted ice runs in the morning before they started school. You know, I still meet with those boys to this very day. We finished our schooling in 1957 and the class of 57 meets every year. And it's a joy to be in their company. some of those young men ended up, well, they're old men now, ended up in their own businesses and doing extremely well. Sadly, they're all getting to the stage where they're dying and we're getting fewer and fewer of us. But we've all been through the school of hard knocks to get us where we are today. But we had to let go. Most of us are believers. And we had to let go and let Yah take control from a very early age. From a very early age in our life. Let the ruach that swept Eliyahu up into the heavens as Elisha watched come and catch you up. We can get caught up right now in the ruach of Elohim. Let the river take you away. Let your river of life start to flow now. It doesn't matter what's happening in this world. It doesn't matter what other people think about you. It's none of your business. That's between them and Yah. And start getting into his word, living 24/7 for him. Are there any questions? No, I don't need claps. No, it's Yah's word, not mine. Yes, Joy, can you come and use the mic, please? Because this goes all around the world and...
I wasn't expecting that.
Oh, sorry. Just pick it up, it's okay. Put it against your chin. Yeah. No one can see you.
Can you hear me okay?
Put it against your chin.
Can you hear me okay now? Yeah. Oh, right, that's it. You were saying earlier about when Jesus died and he ascended straight to the Father. I was just wondering when he actually went down to hell.
During that week. I took the keys of death and hell. He in that week, when he ascended, he said to Miriam, "Don't touch me, because I haven't ascended yet."
Oh yeah, yeah.
So he went to the Father.
Right.
Took the keys to death and hell.
Oh, and went down.
And then came back to earth for the 40 days.
Right. Thank you. That's really what
I believe that it was within that time frame.
Okay. All right. That's really what I wanted to know. So
not
thank
a problem.
You very much. Thanks.
It's fine. Okay, well, if we've got no more, we'll move on to the remembrance service.